You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Tuesday, so as always, we speak to Ian Cruickshanks, who's the Chief Economist at the Centre for Risk Analysis at the Institute for Race Relations in Johannesburg. Ian, the only thing that really has stood out for me over the last couple of days is the appointment of a new Eskom CEO. Now, I don't know what the process was in order to appoint this person, but he's from the private sector. Interesting appointment.
Yes. Well, it looks like he has a practical background, both on the financial side, where he's been a CEO of big companies, most lately Nampak, which is a leader, of course, in the packaging field, and a lot of automation going into that, and also in engineering, which he will probably need to that sort of experience to get an understanding of the operational difficulties that Eskom is facing. Perhaps it's as well that he is looked on as an outsider, so there won't be any necessarily early pressures that he has to cope with. Well, hopefully not. But it seems to be a sensible appointment, if that is possible.
Yes, okay. Well, good luck to him, I say, and well done to whoever appointed him and whatever the process was. Hopefully he'll breathe some life into that beleaguered institution, which is Eskom. SAA is another problem. Eskom and SAA are obviously interlinked because of the government influence there and the government shareholding. SAA, it says here, according to Business Day, SAA wants Labour court to step in over crippling strike. Acting CEO says demands relating to the current restructuring of SAA were not part of the initial dispute. So the people that are working there are saying, well, the way I interpret it, Ian, before you intervene, is the intervention, in other words, the cost-cutting, needs to happen in order to save the jobs that are already there. But the people that have the jobs at the moment don't want it to happen because they'll lose their jobs. It's almost like a catch-22 going on here.
Sure. But, you know, if one does a study of the level of salaries currently prevailing in Eskom, and I suppose it probably applies to other SOEs as well, they are relatively higher than the going rate for similar responsibilities in the private sector. And that just says, you know, they're being well paid anyway. And our view is that the workers don't really have a leg to stand on. It would not be unfair to say to them, you're going to have to go without increases because, as I said, they're above the, what would you call, the commercial level in any case already. So this is going to be difficult to swing past the working fraternity in Eskom. Heck, that's a bit of a misnomer, the working fraternity in Eskom. I assume that there is a working fraternity there. But when one looks at output, they've produced less than one would expect from the input, manpower and capital involved.
Yeah, I mean, airlines are a very difficult business anyway, but I think South African Airways, personally, all the experiences I've had with South African Airways have always been very good. I think it's a world-class airline compared to some of the other ones I've taken in the United States and in Europe. And it says here, embattled national carrier SAA says it will approach the Labour Court on an urgent basis to interdict the additional demands tabled by striking unions at the company. What is your... This is something I haven't asked you before. What is your attitude towards unions?
I firmly believe that workers should get what they deserve. On the other hand, no work, no pay should prevail as well. I think that is important. If they choose to go on strike, they must either be supported by their union or else they're just going to have to go hungry for a while. This, of course, is a great dilemma because our unions in South Africa are not really capital rich. But it was very interesting. I went to a talk by Eric Venter, the ex-CEO of Comair, all about the operation of airlines, especially in those in South Africa. And it is terrifying to hear what sort of margins they have to operate on and how a mere couple or few passengers can make the difference between running a flight at a profit or not. So what they must realize is now, if they keep this up, if they keep SAA out of business, if they keep it grounded just for a week or so, it may never get going again. That's a heck of a thought to consider when they're thinking of their future job security. There isn't any of that. But what Eric Venter said was that SAA is an inefficient, poorly managed organization, and he just thinks it's only a matter of time before they see the strike is more or less, call it self-destructive.
Yes, indeed. Let's have a look at the South African market at the moment, because we had a couple of days in the last couple of weeks where the volume on the JSE Securities Exchange went above 20 billion and people were jumping through hoops. But on the other hand, we've had a couple of days as well which have been sub 16. I mean, I think I saw one which was 15.5 billion. I think one a couple of days ago was 13.8, something like that. But volumes are drying up, Ian Cruickshanks. And it's only the 19th of November. It's not as if it's Christmas time.
Yes, it's a bit of an early year-end close down. I saw a 14 million daily turnover a couple of days ago, and I thought, wow, this is an early close down, or else it's the regrettable lack of interest in our market and international traders' views that there's not much to go for here, and I fear that that's part of the problem. Our spot as one of the favoured investment destinations isn't that we don't hold that anymore.
No, we don't. Markets in general, what are you seeing? What are your feelings? Has anything changed since we last spoke?
Not really. I think that what we're looking at is the more I hear of corporate results. Here was one. What is it? The Astral Foods. Did you have a look at their results? It came out earlier.
They were pretty appalling, I thought.
Yes, revenue up 4%. That's okay. But operating profit down 55%.
55, exactly.
Now, that just says, even on a mild, slightly increased revenue, they're making massive losses. And the CEO just said, with competition from imports from Brazil and America, the higher cost of maize because of last year's poor maize crop, labor costs, water difficulties in accessing water supply, all these things have had a major impact, and he doesn't see a strong improvement in the near future. That is our problem with manufacturing. It's manufacturing animal food, manufacturing furniture, whatever. We haven't got the numbers to get the really big production runs, and we can't do it efficiently. We're really globally at a non-price competitive level. It's very difficult for manufacturers in South Africa, and for that sector, I think it's even more difficult when one looks at things like Eskom breakdowns and so on. I think we must reconsider the fact of hopes that you're going to get 0.5 to 1% GDP growth this year. I think we'll be lucky to get a positive number. And I see several good reasons to say that it'll hover around the zero level. That's not going to do anything to encourage any improvement in our international credit rating, I'm afraid.
Ian, thanks so much for your time. That's Ian Cruickshanks, who's the Chief Economist at the Centre for Risk Analysis at the South African Institute for Race Relations in Johannesburg. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.